You're listening to Ottawa Now with Christy Cameron on News Talk 580 CFRA and the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to the show. Happy Thursday, everybody. What a brilliant weather afternoon out there. 12 degrees right now. It's passing people that were working without jackets on, people in construction, dog walkers without a jacket, without a sweater, people in t-shirts today. It is t-shirt weather. Mainly sunny, 12 degrees, but it practically feels like 19 or 20 in mid to late November. Tomorrow, same temperature, same thing, but wet. So enjoy the sunshine today. Happy Thursday, Danny.
Well, hello there, Christy.
Good to be back in studio today.
It is. Look at your face.
I'm
That's
here.
What you look like.
I'm not in Manotick anymore.
Interesting.
It was fun yesterday being at the Dream Home, though. And Stephen Ellsworth is on the show today.
Oh, hi.
How you doing?
I'm pretty good.
I'm sorry I'm taking you away from the Sens. Puck drop was 10 minutes ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, on CFRA Live, I'm actually working Saturday right after the show is done. They face Minnesota in Sweden, 11 a.m. face-off on Saturday.
But right now, I know a lot of people are interested in the Sens, and Jeff, the grumpy Uber driver, actually just wrote to me. He said, I'm sorry, Christy, I'm betraying you today listening to 1200 during your show. My answer to your question of the day is the opposite of whatever Trudeau says, LOL. Have an amazing show. Go Sens, go. Well, funny enough, it kind of relates to Trudeau. I guess it does in a way.
Yeah.
I don't think Jeff is exactly reading our mind, but he's not entirely off base because we are talking about the federal government and the CEBA loan.
We are, yes. So
that was the pandemic relief given to businesses.
You're in the neighborhood, Jeff, just not on the road.
I'm going to leave you hanging on that, but the question is pretty much, should we forgive the pandemic business loans? There's a local accountant who will join us in 20 minutes from now, about 20 minutes, who has a petition and is saying that we need to forgive these loans paid through the CEBA, the Canada Emergency Business Account, because many businesses are not able to pay them back. They are struggling. They're not going to hit it by the deadline. And he says it's time to consider forgiving it outright. I know the outlook for many businesses is grim. They've had extensions. In September, the government granted an extension of the repayment deadline from December the 31st, 2023 to January 18th, 2024. The CEBA was a lifeline for businesses. But the problem now is that just like downtowns, just like many things that we thought, recovery didn't turn out to be exactly what we thought it was going to be. And we're not there yet. So that's our question of the day. We'll get into that a little bit more in about 20 minutes from now. Wow, I already have an answer. Somebody said yes, absolutely.
There we go. This could be a hot topic.
Can we afford to, though? And do we forgive everybody or just the businesses that can prove that they're really unable to pay it back?
Right.
What about the businesses that scrimped and saved and had to do other things to be able to make that repayment?
It's a good question.
So some get forgiven, some don't? That seems like a recipe for disaster.
Small businesses versus medium-sized businesses?
Let us know. The other things we'll be talking about today on the show. Ontario is enacting safe arrival rules at daycares. Did you know these don't exist already? They exist in other spots. What it is they phone you if your child doesn't show up at daycare. You get a notification to ensure that you know whether you were supposed to drop your child off or a grandparent or a friend, that they didn't make it to daycare. The protocol is to protect against children being left in cars. People often ask, how could you do such a thing? How irresponsible? How could a parent forget their child? I'm childless. I don't have kids, but I'll tell you what I hear from my friends. They're overloaded. They're tired. They worship their kids. They love their kids. But they're exhausted. And often you've got two kids in the car. One of the kids is talking, yammering away at you or crying. And you're just feeling overwhelmed. And if there's one small change in routine, according to the experts, like let's say that morning you didn't stop and get coffee or you started at a different time or one partner is taking the child and the other one is going to work that day. One little blip, one little change in routine can throw you off. This is not from me, Danny. This is from the experts. They say this.
Yeah, we were reading something about that.
Households are busy.
They are.
And it becomes a daily blur. The morning mayhem, it does happen. And it often results in tragedy.
It does. It's a
kids
bad,
die.
It's a bad, horrible, terrible mistake, but it's just moments, right? Everything happens in a moment, and no matter how much you plan for anything, anything can happen.
I've done interviews like that with parents who have lost their kids. The kids have died in a hot car.
It's terrible.
It is awful. It is so awful. So I'm absolutely for this to make things a little bit less upsetting and less depressing. I think this is a positive step. I don't think anybody is going to call into the show or text in and say, don't do this. Don't give me a notification if my kids don't show up. It's a no-brainer. It's not really putting you out. Yes, I guess in some senses, maybe, Danny, parents could be thrown off if there's an accounting or an attendance error and they falsely get that notification.
Yeah.
Susie didn't make it to school today, or Susie didn't make it to daycare. What? I dropped them off. Oh, sorry. That's another kid that called in sick today.
Yeah. I mean,
and that can probably be a heart-stopping moment, but I'd rather have that if it could save one life of a child.
Of course.
Accidentally left in a hot car.
Yes. Anything we can do to help stop that is the way to go.
It's the way to go. And that's why we didn't make it the question of the day, because I don't think anybody disagrees with that. I certainly don't. Up next. Oh, you know I love my municipal affairs.
Here we go.
I put on my municipal affairs bib so that we can dig into this juicy meal. The Transportation Committee. It's the city budget time of the year where all of the various budgets go to different committees. And then they parse them up and they debate them. And the reason this one's interesting is because it involves parking meter rates. On my walk into the station, I saw a City of Ottawa bylaw out there roaming about the Byward Market, as they often do. I think on-street parking is already pretty expensive, in my opinion. It's about to go up.
Oh, of course it is.
It's going up 50 cents, so that's not a huge jump, but it's to $4.50 an hour.
Do you remember just being able to put a quarter in and then you could walk around for a while?
Not really.
No?
No.
That was the 90s.
I was too young to drive then.
Well, yeah.
What age did you drive a car, Danny?
5.
You're the same age as me.
I'm not joking, but first time I got behind a wheel, I think I was 4 or 5.
I was too. Yeah. I was on my dad's lap in Halliburton, Ontario, family cottage. Hopefully my mother's not listening right now.
I ran over my grandmother. But she was fine. She was good.
You ran over your grandmother?
Well, not ran over, but I hit her with the car.
Just a light little love tap.
Yeah, she was checking something in the trunk, and I was like,
"Was Grandma okay?
What does this button do?" Yeah, she was fine.
Okay, so maybe we get into that story another time.
Yeah.
But back to parking rates. Just a random wild fact to pepper in there.
I
hit my grandmother
with
a car. Anyway, nevertheless, so $4.50 an hour. Not so bad, but if you're parking for more than an hour, the maximum hourly rate for parking lots. Parking a lot also goes up by 50 cents to $6.50. And then there's the cost of a parking permit. This is for on-street parking. It jumps $17. $17, that would make it $750 a year for the annual permit. Oof. That hits you right in the pocketbook. They're also talking about the snow clearing budget, and that's a bit of a different debate because, you know, we had this chronic problem for years and years where they would budget a certain amount for the snow and then we'd go over. And unfortunately, we did go over and we have gone over because we had a lot of snow and ice. Are we forming these budgets realistically? Sometimes I think they need work. We'll chat with the chair of the Transportation Committee, Tim Tierney. One part of the budget that we've always gotten wrong has been the OC Transpo rider forecast. These mythical projections of how many people are going to ride OC Transpo and pay for it. And by the way, not only were the projections mythical, Danny, but remember, even when you do have people riding, a lot of them don't pay. The amount of times that I see people shoving themselves through the fare gates, or one person pays and the rest of them run through, or they wait for people to exit. Students do it all the time. I'm not trying to attack a demographic. I just happen to be around a lot of students,
of course,
because
yeah.
We're one stop away from U of O.
Mm-hmm.
And I see young people doing it all the time. Maybe they're high school students, but they're just younger.
Yeah, they're younger folks.
They're below 20.
We're not going to put them in a generation like millennials because they're not millennials.
They're not. They're Gen Z. That's coming up on the show. Also, we'll chat with an Ottawa man who is blind and deaf speaking out about road safety. We've had a lot of conversations about road safety recently, and we'll have one again today because, you know, it's one thing for you to be walking down the road and you can see what is going on around you. Imagine being legally blind. And he has a very lovely dog who is his guide dog. It's a trained dog who is on the job with him. Mm-hmm. And they were both there walking in Orleans through this busy East End intersection with his service dog. And he felt it was way too close. And that's why he's speaking out about it. Terrifying.
Yeah. If it wasn't for that dog, whose name is Woody, by the way.
Very cute dog.
Very. And he said he wouldn't be here today. He had witnesses there trying to help him. And it was a very, very close call.
He will join us coming up on the show.
Don't you know that I love waking up next to you, waking up next to you.
You're listening to Ottawa Now with Christy Cameron on News Talk 580 CFRA and the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Stephen Ellsworth, I was feeling a lot of pity for you and feeling kind of guilty that you're here as the Sens are on, because I know that you're a pretty diehard fan, right?
Yeah, I dabble into the hockey every now and then.
You know a lot about the Sens. You're always telling me things. I know very little about the Sens, so it's nice to have you aboard on that. Mm-hmm. But then I saw that you're no longer working on Sunday.
Yes, Chris Viss is pinch hitting for me on Sunday, which means I can watch the Grey Cup and not feel tired afterwards.
Okay, I feel a little bit better now. And we appreciate you helping us out
anytime.
On the show today.
Happy to.
It is 2:27. Back to the City Hall news today. I mentioned snow and the snow clearing budget was part of that. It's interesting because we had this chronic problem, as I mentioned, where we'd have our snow clearing budget, then it would snow, then it would freezing rain. We'd always get atrocious weather in Ottawa, as you do in a snowy Canadian capital like this. And then the next year, we'd sit down at City Hall and hear about it. We need to spend more. So that came up this year. Next year's draft budget, again, it hasn't been improved, or sorry, it hasn't been approved. Whether it's been improved, I guess, is up to interpretation. The money for snow clearing is up. The budget is $92.5 million. That's up $7 million from last year. But Councillor Ariel Troster, who represents the downtown ward of Somerset, was questioning why we don't increase the snow clearing budget more.
Knowing that we had a deficit of $19 million from winter operations last year, we're seeing more extreme weather, we're seeing more snow, we know that our climate patterns are changing. Should we not just be budgeting more for winter maintenance? Because we seem to have these record snowfalls every year.
Here's the staff response.
Every year when we build a budget, we look at those historical averages as well to kind of true it up. In this budget, the budget is going up to $92.5 million. That's a $10 million increase from 2022. So that's a significant increase. It's hard to speculate what climate change is. If you look at some of the, you know, farmers' almanacs or weather predictions, some would suggest that we're going to have less snowfall, more milder winters. That does present challenges to the operations for Quinton in terms of freezing rain and rain. So that dynamic is changing.
And he continued, he said, it is a risk, of course, but it's something they try to plan for. She was asking, what would trigger a more permanent increase on a year-by-year basis? Would it have to be 5 years out? Would it have to be following a really big deficit? She said she's very concerned. He continued on to say exactly what the plan is and how the city addresses this.
I would need to see at least what I would consider financial good indicator. So I would like to see a consistent 2 to 3 years. But of course, if there's other challenges outside of the weather, we're also seeing in 2021, 22, 23 is the supply chain inflationary impacts as well. But even if I go back to, I have a lot of data here. If I go back to 2014 timeframe, we ended with a $24 million deficit, right? So we slowly increased over time, as opposed to just saying, here you go, here's $100 million without any fiscal restraint, if you will. Last year, we were able to basically mitigate most of the winter operations deficit. The challenge we had last year, we did finish last year overall with a $6 or $7 million deficit. Don't quote me on that number. Lots of numbers in my head. But the biggest driver of last year's deficit wasn't winter operations. It was a derecho. We had $20 million worth of derecho costs.
And yes, that did cost a lot of money. It was a huge mess that we were all dealing with. Without it, though, where do we stand? He was asked. Here he is explaining.
If you look at the $6 million of deficit in winter operations, $26 million. We finished the year with about a $7 million deficit, plus or minus. So we have a lot of levers where we really tighten up the purse strings, if you will, to help that. Again, if I see a consistent routine, we always can go back to our tax stabilization reserve. Don't like to touch that. But if I do see that trending of 2-3 years where the budget continues to, the actuals continue to exceed the budget, we kind of give it a one-time top up.
If you're glassy-eyed from listening to that explanation, don't be. It is money. It is snow. And the winter standards in this city do matter. People don't care about it at budget time. Maybe they find it boring, but you do care about it when your street isn't plowed or when you can't walk down your neighborhood sidewalk because they didn't do a very good job of it. Big budget in Ottawa because we get a lot of snow and ice. We'll talk about that coming up next.
You're listening to Ottawa Now with Christy Cameron on News Talk 580 CFRA and the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Welcome back to the show, 2:38.
Hey, my question for you today is...
Only one question.
My question.
Question.
Question of the day on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Should the federal government forgive the pandemic loans that were given out to small businesses? That's what we're asking you today on the QOTD. We're talking about the CEBA, the Canada Emergency Business Account. It was a lifeline to businesses. It was meant to rescue them from the pandemic. Nearly 900,000 small businesses right across Canada tapped into this loan. They needed it. They received up to $60,000 each. But now, as the deadline to pay it back approaches, many businesses are still not back to where they need to be. They're still struggling. They're floundering through. And we've been hearing those stories on this very show, having some very candid conversations with business owners. We had the Eco Store in the Glebe, the owner telling us that it's make it or break it this Christmas, that if they don't have better sales and support from people that live nearby, that might be it. That might be the end. We also spoke with Dom Santaguida, who's the owner of Vittoria Trattoria, situated near Hunt Club in Rivergate. He was on the show on Monday. And he was discussing, in particular, an increase to patio fees because the city is looking at bringing them back to pre-pandemic levels. And he said right now it's a move that restaurateurs just can't afford.
We've kind of been struggling the last few years, and people really enjoyed eating outdoors. And I think the city should look at phasing the rates back in. And if businesses don't survive summer, they're not paying property taxes. And although the patio fees are substantial, you know, in our spaces, and I'm sure in the King Eddie, the property taxes are in the tens of thousands of dollars annually. And the city should look at the multiplier of all of the factors, not just, you know, that isolated incident of the patio fees.
His argument is essentially they can't afford anything else beyond what they're paying now because many places are barely hanging on. Now one local accountant is calling on the federal government to consider forgiving the pandemic loans for small businesses. And we've got that accountant on the line right now. Mo Tabish, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you.
You started a petition with this, and it has generated more than 13,000 signatures. What do you want from the federal government?
That is correct. Well, basically, we want them to forgive it or at least come and negotiate with small businesses.
In what way?
Well, just talk to us, see what they can offer, because this is not fair. I mean, if people don't pay the $40,000 loan, then they have to pay the balance, the 20 grand. So 20 grand won't be forgiven. So what they would owe is $60,000. And at the time when government approved this, the interest rate was at almost 1%. Now, if the business owners want to go to the bank to negotiate this loan to pay it, so they don't have to pay the 20 grand portion, which was the grant, then maybe they have to borrow at 10%. So this is a huge jump. And again, also at the same time, it is not fair because when the government provided the CERB to Canadians to basically stay home, so, you know, because nothing was safe, that money wasn't basically called back, or it wasn't a loan. Government just gave that to anyone who stayed home. And but to businesses, they said, okay, if you pay the 40 grand, you can get this 20 grand basically forgiven, which is not fair. At the same time, also, we have the government employees complaining about, I guess, prices have gone up, and they have. And they ask for 30% increase in pay, whereas, again, small businesses were left out. And actually, they got a pretty substantial pay raise because of the pandemic and, price changes. Small businesses haven't done that.
Why did you want to get involved in this? What inspired you to start this petition?
Well, as an accountant in Ottawa, we help a lot of small businesses. And I hear from them that, I have to go basically get a loan to pay this back, and I don't know how I can afford this. And with the interest rate being high, basically they're all saying, I don't have this money.
What does it mean to them when they say, I don't have this money? What does the future look like?
Unfortunately, it could lead to some bankruptcies. And at the same time, so you have to remember, or realize that a lot of these small businesses employ people. So these people, they get EI, they pay CBP, the small business, helps in collecting and paying HST, WSIB, all kinds of stuff, which is also another burden on the businesses.
So you're telling me they're not able to pay the CEBA back and also make payroll?
Well, yeah, if they go bankrupt, they're gone. So they basically, they put themselves out of business. And they put the employees out of business. So this, somebody needs to speak up and say, this is, you need to rethink this. I totally understand at the time when CEBA loan was given, everybody was panicking. We didn't know what to do. The world was in chaos, a lot of uncertainty. So we came in, we said, okay, we give you the 60 grand, go ahead, stay open. Which actually meant a lot of these people were in danger. I'm sure maybe some of them even got sick because of the COVID. And now that, 3 years have gone by, we got the vaccine, we are getting a bit better. So I think either government maybe should extend this portion, the whole thing, maybe extend it to another couple of years, and maybe even come up with a payment plan. I was reading on the UK website that they had this plan, it's called Pay As You Grow. So if you could do this, then companies that, basically survived based on their net income, maybe they could put some kind of a payment plan, also probably with no interest, then they can pay it back. But otherwise, we're going to see probably some turbulence, in the economy.
Okay, back to the loan forgiveness, though, when you talked about eliminating the CEBA debts completely. I just want to clarify, who would get that? Who would you want to get that? How would the federal government decide which businesses they would eliminate the debt completely for?
Yeah, well, maybe they could open an application again, see how the business is doing. Some businesses are doing okay, some businesses are not. So ask them, maybe send another application. What was your net income? Actually, every business has to provide their financial statements to the government as the year end approaches or the year end has gone by. Based on what you made last year, maybe you pay a portion of it or maybe extend it. Or, I guess the ultimate thing would be not pay it. You saved us. You stuck
for all businesses or just the ones that haven't bounced back?
I guess the ones that haven't bounced back. If they're negotiating, we can do that. Remember, when the crisis was, nobody could find the toilet paper, businesses stayed open. They had to go, they find product, they kept the doors open, they fed people, they stuck through it. So again, just saying time's up, pay, it's not fair.
Right. But okay, back to the forgiveness of the loans. I hear what you're saying, but doesn't that punish the other businesses that have been able to repay some of the loan where they've had to pay that money back and they're succeeding?
Yes and no. So if the loan helps you probably maybe it was enough. If the loan, you know, didn't pay you, you know, didn't help you, then, you know, we shouldn't put a pressure on them, because some people did well and they survived, and the other ones that are, they're not gone yet. They're staying. Maybe they need more help. Or, yeah, I mean, it's federal government, you know, let them worry about this, I guess, or think about this.
We're chatting right now with a local accountant who works with small businesses. He's been hearing the plight of business owners that are on the brink of bankruptcy, that are coming up to the CEBA repayment deadline. That's what we're talking about, the CEBA, or the Canada Emergency Business Account, which was the loan given to the businesses from the federal government that have to be repaid. Back to what you were saying, I do have a lot of empathy, as I do think many of our listeners do, for the business community. But when you get a loan, you do understand there's a timeline to pay it back. That's how it works for individuals. Why should it be any different for businesses?
Well, number one, they were desperate. Number two, if you talk about fairness, a lot of people got the CERB. Basically, CERB was, you know, we give you this 20 grand, stay home. So, I mean, in terms of fairness, maybe portion of this 40 grand should be wiped out. So if businesses paid it, well, claim it back, you know, claim it as a tax credit. I don't know. So to be fair, why would, you know, I understand why, because they had to stay home because of the COVID. So we tell some people, you stay home, we'll pay you. We tell the other people, we'll give you a loan, go battle and good luck. And then in a couple of years, you know, we want it back. And when government said, you know, we're going to, basically there was a deadline, we didn't know how this COVID would pan out. We didn't know if you're going to survive this or not. At the same time, you know, prices went up. At the same time, interest rate went up. So back then, if you borrowed 40 grand, the interest on it would have been 1%. Now the interest is 10%, so 10 times more. And government is not saying, hey, we'll subsidize it. You know, I gave you a loan. So if you basically going back to the fairness, when I gave you this loan, it was 1%. Now I want at 10%. So this part is not fair. So if you're going to play fairness, you know, give them 25 grand just for that, you know, CERB portion.
This is a tough question and a tough thing for many business owners to think about. But I would be remiss if I didn't ask it, Mo. Okay. There are businesses that have bounced back. Some of them have never recovered. They're nowhere near what they were doing in 2019. Mm-hmm. What if it never goes back to what it was? What if they never recover? How do we know that these businesses that used to be successful are still viable? Don't we have to call it at some point?
To be, even if they're not viable, even if they don't bounce back, they're still contributing, because the business owner is, you know, has to feed his family from the income. They're still hiring people. They're still paying into CPP. They're still paying into EI. They're still paying, collecting and paying taxes. So they're still contributing. So having them around is a good thing. Having them not in the equation is not a good thing.
Thanks for the time today. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
An Ottawa accountant. Starting a pretty interesting conversation. Definitely great fodder for talk radio. Mo Tabish. He started a petition that is calling on the government to essentially work with businesses on a case-by-case basis. There have been extensions to the CEBA, but the repayments eventually do need to be made, despite the granting of extensions, despite bumping it back. A lot of these businesses may not be able to repay by the current January deadline. And this accountant is saying maybe some of them need to have their loans forgiven. And I said, all of them? He said, no, not necessarily all of them, because some of them have bounced back. But he was suggesting that it deserves another look. It's worth another look. That either we got to forgive them the loans, or the government needs to do a better job of working with the businesses. What do you think?
You're listening to Ottawa Now with Christy Cameron on News Talk 580 CFRA and the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
256, welcome back. The Help Santa Toy Parade is set for this Saturday, November the 18th. It begins at 11 a.m. at Ottawa City Hall. We've heard from organizers that unfortunately this year they're having substantial problems with donations. Joining us right now, Cameron Taylor, chair of the Help Santa Toy Parade. Hello, good to have you back on the show, Cameron.
Hi, Christy. Thanks for having us on. We're happy to kind of get the message out and talk a bit about what's been going on.
How are the donations coming in, the levels compared to what you would expect?
You know, honestly, quite down this year, unfortunately. You know, I think, of course, I've talked about it on your show before and other places. You know, it's a tough year, you know, coming out of COVID. I think a lot of people were struggling, and then, you know, there's a lot more financial issues going on right now, and there's a lot going on in the world. So, you know, I think people aren't as able to give, and you know, we've seen that translate in the toys being dropped off at fire stations, you know, as well as on our, you know, pre-parade donations. I would say we're down half in both, at least, and I would say even more so in our toys. I've got a couple of guys running around in trucks today picking up toys just to kind of get our big cart started. And, you know, we're not finding as many as we usually do. So we wanted to get it out to the public. You know, if you're not able to this year, but the folks who are able to, we're hoping you can really, do it this year.
There's the toys that are being dropped off at fire stations. Then there are the financial donations online, and you're at 30% compared to this time last year.
Yeah, for financial donations online, yeah, we're at 30% of our financial donations. And, you know, 100% of those donations go to purchase toys for Toy Mountain. They allow us kind of to get them started earlier in the year when, you know, we don't have the physical toys. And they, you know, 100% of that goes into the actual, into toys. So yeah, 30% this year, unfortunately. We're kind of hoping that we can boost that up and make a difference.
It really is difficult, I think, for a lot of families this time of year. And I know that that's why you collect these toys.
Yeah.
But it's just unfortunate to see everybody struggling in this way. It really does feel like that's the word of the year, struggle.
Yeah, it does seem that, you know, we even, of course, we see it at work here, you know, we go to calls, you know, things aren't quite going the way people would like them to. And, you know, I understand, and I don't want people to feel like, oh my gosh, like, I need to give my last 2 cents. You know, like, not everybody's able to right now, and we totally understand. I think we're just trying to reach out as much as possible to folks who, you know, might have the means, or maybe they were in an insulated job or business during COVID and, you know, during the last couple of years, or maybe they happen to catch on one of those fixed mortgages and maybe are able to dig a bit deeper for it.
Thanks so much for the time. Best of luck.
We really appreciate you.
Cameron Taylor, chair of the Help Santa Toy Parade. If you can donate, they sure could use it. 259.